Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents was returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. And then they began looking for him and among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Let's pray. Father, we're on a journey with you right now. We praise you for sending Jesus to this world. We praise you for sending him as a baby and showing us how powerful and how you give us the gift of the impossible, to where he was born of a virgin. And then, Father, how he was growing in his physical growth, as well as growing in wisdom. Then, Father, we see him next, 12 years later, in these verses that we just read. I have a feeling we're going to be like Joseph and Mary and maybe miss what's most important. Maybe not understand the way Jesus answered his parents. But Father, I pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and grow us in wisdom this morning. And it's through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, born of a virgin, lived a life of obedience, and taught us the way to you, Father. We say together, amen. This is one of the most curious events that happens. I like to use this. I use it a lot when I was in youth ministry because Jesus is a preteen here. Now, in Jewish culture, you got to remember that at 12 years old, he's just about an adult. Now, I don't know how many 12-year-olds you know today, but we would probably not consider them anywhere close to being an adult. And it's just because of the way culture shapes families and makes things important and what is supposed to be taught. And so each individual family chooses which culture to follow. Something that God has created, like in Deuteronomy 6, where we talk about God a lot at home, that God is real. He's not a fairy tale. He's real, and Jesus is real, and he's doing some powerful things, and here's what he's done in my life. And here's what he's doing in other people's lives. And here's what he's done for you. And so, as you cultivate that type of culture in a home, there's a different worldview that will come out of a human being when taught that. Now, if you're taught about a culture that everything is about you and that selfishness is okay, you're just being yourself. We were talking downstairs this morning in our small little round table discussion about how we sometimes like to negotiate with God. Well, God, I can accept giving up these things, but you're going to need to accept where I'm at in these things because my dad did it, my mother did it, and I'm just going to blame them, which sound like a lot like Adam when he blamed Eve for his own sin. And so we negotiate with God. And if you cultivate that in your home where, hey, you know, you just be who you want to be and then finally God just accepts everybody, you'll get a different type of action. Well, here we read Jesus. This is after the scene that is described with Jesus' birth. And now he's a preteen, almost an adult. And according to God's law, every male was required to go to Jerusalem at least 3 times a year for these great festivals. You find that in Deuteronomy 16. The most important one was the Passover, in which followed a week-long feast of unleavened bread. The Passover was for the remembrance of when the Jews escaped from Egypt when God killed the Egyptians firstborn but passed over to the Israelite home because they were instructed to take the blood of a lamb and mark their door frames with it so that when the spirit of death would come through, the babies would be spared, the children would be spared, but among the Egyptian families, then the babies would die. And it was all over this getting evil to release God's people from captivity. And so we follow along with that. That's a feast that they were called to go back to remember. It's a lot like us remembering Jesus and his sacrifice, what he's done, the blood of the lamb that comes to wash away our sins. No other blood can do it. So that spiritual death will not enter into our homes so that when we die, we still live. And so that's what's happening here. They went, they had a festive time together in Jerusalem in remembrance of what God had did. In verse 43 through 45, we find Jesus here as a preteen, almost an adult. Most of those who traveled attended these festivals. They traveled in caravans to the Jerusalem and then back home. Now, that was done for safety reasons. I was reading that, you know, the journeys were long for some people, and when they caravan, that was for safety. You don't want to get an individual family out there by themselves because the robbers and the thieves could come along and kill them or rob them or cause a lot of harm to these families, so they stayed in groups. Kind of a nice idea, even in a spiritual sense. Kind of like what the church is called to do. Stay together, journey together, so that the thief won't come and rob and destroy. Well, usually, they put the women and the children first. Men would be in the back so they could see forward and see if anything was happening. And kind of what was amazing, though, Jesus being 12 was still a child, but being 12 was almost an adult. So which part of the caravan was he in? Was he up front or was he in the back? Well, Joseph and Mary just kind of felt, well, he's somewhere among us. And then they figured out he wasn't in the caravan. He was not to be found. So they had to separate themselves, go back to Jerusalem, and they even looked in Jerusalem for 3 days. Now, I don't know about you mothers, but how frantic would you be if your 12-year-old was lost in the middle of Charlotte for 3 days and you don't know whether they were getting fed or where they were or what has happened to them? You would probably agree with the question that Mary has for her son. Son, what'd she say? Yeah, why have you done this to us? Why did you scare us to death? Why did you make us worry so much? In scripture here in the NIV is translated, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. Now, let's kind of dissect what's happening here with this conversation between mother and her son. The temple courts were well known for being a place for learning. And at the time of the Passover feast, the greatest rabbis of the land would assemble to teach and to discuss some great truths, in which most likely included, possibly, the discussion about the coming of the Messiah. I mean, all the Old Testament's full of the coming of Messiah. So I wonder if these rabbis were talking about, looking for the signs, they're talking about the prophecies and all the great truths that's found in Scripture. And then here Jesus is there listening to them. He was eager to listen. He wanted to find out what they were teaching. He wanted to find out what they believed truth was. And then you find Jesus using a technique that a lot of teachers today don't use. They teach by questions. Jesus listened to them eagerly and then asked questions. So if you have a question about the Lord or a question about God or a question about Scripture, join Jesus. Because he asked questions. He wanted to find out what these teachers thought. He was the Word which became flesh. He wanted to hear what was most important to them. Then in verse 48 we find Mary and Joseph. And they're going through what most parents hate to see. Your child becoming an adult. You see it in Mary's question about the anxiety. Now, how did Jesus answer? There's different translations with this one. The NIV translates it, don't you know that I would be in my Father's house? Okay, now we need to dig that in a little bit more about what's his Father's house. I don't believe this passage, this is me, I don't believe this passage is talking about, wouldn't you know I would be in this location? Other translations use, wouldn't you know I'd be about my Father's business, about my Father's works, or I have to be about my Father's affairs. Now, there's a difference. When you answer somebody and say, wouldn't you know you'd just find me here in the temple courts, where I'm located. But compare that to saying, wouldn't you know that I'm about my father's business, his work, his type of work, his affairs? What is God's affairs? He wants to find out what people believe is truth, and he wants to teach with questions. And he will question you and I. Who do we love more? God or ourself? What about a question like, what does it profit a person if they would gain the whole world, have just all the money in the world, and lose their soul for eternity? Now, he didn't judge anybody. He just asked them a question. And can you imagine what was spinning in people's heads? Boy, I'd like to have all the money in the world. Actually, I'm pursuing it right now. I'll do anything to get it. And when it comes to God's work, well, I'll set that aside because surely God wants me to be happy and have all the money in the world. But what does it profit if somebody has all the money in the world and they lose their soul over it? And so he teaches by asking questions. What's more important to you? The reply Jesus gives, I have to be about my father's affairs. Don't you know that I have to be about his business, his work? That's the house. It's not so much the temple. The house of God is the affairs of God, the work of God, the business of God. And so Jesus replies and gives this answer to his parents. So don't feel bad when you read Scripture or Jesus asks a question in Scripture and you don't understand it because Joseph and Mary didn't either. They didn't understand what he was saying. Then, you know, you'd find me in my father's house, about my father's business, about his work, doing his affairs, listening and teaching. That's what God does, and that's what I'm doing. And the reason is, Mary and Joseph knew he was the Son of God. So he said, well, wouldn't you know the Son of God, almost an adult, wouldn't be about himself, he'd be all about God. Why are you searching for me? You know, when we search for Jesus, there's going to be a lot of times we're going to say, I don't understand. But when we listen to him and we follow him and put into practice the teachings that he taught, then we'll start to understand. This is where we hear Jesus stating his knowledge. He knows who he is. He's God's Son. He knows why he exists, why he lives on earth. It's for a task, for a mission, and for a purpose. Jesus later tells his disciples, in which he chose to equip and to train, the same thing. He taught them why he came and why he existed. He told them he has to die. Peter said, oh no, that's not going to happen. And so that constant teaching was happening of who he is and why he was here. Two verses, actually three, for two for one. Jesus says, I came to seek and save the lost. That's my father's affair. That's his business. And that's his work. And wouldn't you know, I'm going to be about that. And I just pray for the day that disciples of Jesus can stand up and say, I'm about what God is about. I'm going to find ways and join up with my caravan, and we're going to learn how to seek and save. We won't do the saving. God will do the saving, but we'll teach them the gospel. Sin separates people from God. We need to love them enough to bring them back to God. The other statement that Jesus knows why he exists and he came to earth for is he came to serve instead of being served. I like to use this one for every new year because you can find it beginning the teaching of serve and being served in Matthew 20:20. How about in the year of 2020, our church family caravan together, meet for some donuts and coffee, and start praying about seeking and saving the lost, and who can we serve? And love being together. And wanting to be together more, but can't find the time. But maybe joining families into our own life so that they can feel like family to us. Invite them along. Go to their events. People can ask me, hey, I'd like for you to come and be with me. So we can be together and get to know one another. But as a disciple, are you growing aware of who you are in Jesus? Are you growing in an aware of why you exist? Are you aware of your purpose for living? Well, I hope 2020 we can cast a vision of God will build his kingdom right here. In a couple of weeks, probably, I'm going to introduce to you a song that's called Build Your Kingdom Here. And we're going to look at lessons that goes with every verse of that song. And it talks about asking God to build his kingdom in the hearts of the people here, and that he will build his kingdom through this congregation of people that are not yet in his kingdom, and have his reign in their life. The second phrase of that word, and then the rest of it, I'll give it to you later, is set our hearts on fire. Now, I don't know about you, but when was the last time your heart was on fire for God? I mean on fire. I mean a consuming fire. You can't get enough of God. You love him so much, you can't. What can I do? Where can I go? What can I write? Can I write a letter? Can I make a phone call? Can I do that? I want to take this caravan and let them know I care, but we're on a journey together to go and seek and save the lost, and not to be served, but to serve other people. That's our vision. That needs to be our vision. In verse 51 and 52, and I'll leave you with this, Jesus even went back home after that and learned obedience and grew in wisdom and in favor with God and men. If Jesus, our Lord and Savior, set us a model of how to live, aren't we called to live and grow in obedience and grow in wisdom and in favor with God and men? That's just a question. You get to answer that. Lord's willing, next week, Jesus will be 18 years older than today. And we're going to start with that. Now, there's a song I found. This is new to me. So, let me see. This is a song I found. Everything's all right in my father's house. Now, again, this is not about location, right? It's not about everything's all right because we're sitting here in a pew and we call it the Father's house. Everything's all right when we're doing the affairs of God, His business, His work. Okay? So when we sing it in my Father's house, that's what it means. We're going to sing through it probably one time. This is new to me. I'll probably mess up at the beginning, but that's okay. I mess up a lot of songs. But thankfully, I got two music people in my home that know music and sound great, and they tried to teach me yesterday. So here we go. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Oh, in my Father's house. Well, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. Peace and happiness there in my Father's house. Well, in my Father's house. Well, in my Father's house. Well, peace and happiness there in my Father's house. Well, where there's joy, joy, joy. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Will to my Father's house. Will to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Oh, where there's joy, joy, joy. You like it? All right. Go back to verse 1. Everybody stand. Set your heart on fire and sing like it is. Here we go. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Well, in my Father's house. Well, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Now where there's joy, joy, joy. Well, peace and happiness there in my Father's, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Peace and happiness there in my Father's house. Oh, where there's joy, joy, joy. Well, come and go with me in my Father's house. Well, in my Father's house. Well, in my Father's house. Come and go with me in my Father's house. So where there's joy, joy, joy. Woo! I haven't seen the fire going back up in a long time. All right. Now simmer down and you may be seated. From the manger to the cross. And we need to remember, just like the Passover feast, that special message. So we call our brother to come up and share. Brother Blake, make your way up here. He's going to lead us in this message about the cross.